preaching message today called "The Father Knoweth That Ye Have Need." The Father Knoweth That Ye Have Need. Luke chapter 12, we'll start reading verse number 13, and you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And one of the company that said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have sufficed his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Notice verse 30 again. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. You may be seated. Now thank you for standing. I'm going to be praying this week about really, when you're in a new year, even people that do not make resolutions, and I don't encourage resolutions, I encourage following the Lord, whatever that, at any time of the year, whatever God leads you to do. But with a new year, sometimes there's that sense, anytime there's something new, there's a sense of hope, sense of a new chance, a fresh opportunity, and God wants us, I believe, as we talked about the Great Commission last week, to establish the vision of what we would like to do. But I believe you have us look at this passage today so we can really look at the vision of how we're approaching and really seeking those things, because many things you may want to get done this year. I can think of years that when the new year started, I wanted to be debt free by the end of the year. That's not a bad goal. It's a godly goal, by the way. But the vision of what I should be doing should always be on something that clearly is really first and foremost in God, and then have whatever bleeds out of that, then that's okay. Now, we'll look at the passage here, and because Jesus gives us some teaching, and he's trying to explain to them, and the verse that we picked for the title was verse 30, "And your father knoweth that ye have need of these things." So he addresses what he knows is going to be their fear and their hindrance for not following the instruction that he gives them. Because he understands that they're going to be in situations, and you look back in time, it's just like King Saul when he committed the first sin against the Lord. Okay, there was supposed to be a sacrifice, and the prophet was supposed to be there, and he saw the prophet, and the prophet did not come at the time where he thought he would be there, so he said, "I forced myself to make this offering." So Saul took upon himself a responsibility that did not belong to him, because he had fear that God was not taking care of the situation. And if you're not careful, many things you will do that are not ungodly things, that you'll never be considered a bad citizen, but you'll miss out on what the Bible says, which is treasure, which makes you rich toward God. We see that in verse number 21. So, look at verse 13 first. If you're taking those, the first thing I would like you to look at, number one, is the Father's caution. The Father's caution. He said in verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." So he's cautioning this person here. First of all, he explained to him that I'm not here for your personal financial advantage. He said, that's not what I'm here for. He said, "Lord, speak to my brother that he divide inheritance with me." So, Lord, my brother is not giving me my fair share of what's coming to me, and he wants the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of it. And he's cautioning him, don't seek me, don't look toward me for a financial advantage, or even an earthly advantage. He said, "Who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he's expressing to him that your root of coming to me is not necessarily that your brothers are wrong, but you are covetous. And he says in verse 15, again, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." He said, stop and think for a second. Don't let your abundance be your strength. And I know this is not a new passage. I think Mark even preached this passage some time ago. But he says, take heed and beware. Because if you don't beware, you will begin to think that your life consists in the abundance of the things you possess. So the strength of your life, what he's saying, the strength of your life will come and go based on the volume of your bank account. Or based on the volume of maybe food you have in the refrigerator. Some people don't care about money, but they get kind of nervous if the cupboard's low. Or the abundance of clothes or shoes or something. See, everybody has a different possession that they find security in. Money is a kind of common one, but many have different ones that make them feel more secure. He said, but don't let the strength of your life be that. Because the word consist means to stand together. Don't let the strength of your life be, I've got money. It means to be in a fixed state, fixed or permanent state. To be supported. You know, I was talking to one of the young men at the gym the other night, and he was talking about one of the basketball players, Allen Iverson. I don't know how old he is, but I think he's 30-something. He's trying to get a contract. Nobody picked him up. And the reason he's playing, he wants to play because he's bankrupt. Now, Allen Iverson will probably be a Hall of Fame basketball player. And he's had year after year of million-dollar contracts. and he's bankrupt. Now, I didn't know this. This is just, I don't know if you tell the truth or not, but if there are several, I know there's several NBA players and professional athletes that is a common thing that happens to them. You know why? Because their life consists in the abundance of what they have, and they trust in that abundance. And guess what? And they keep spending that abundance, and all of a sudden, it's gone. And then they find out they don't have anything to hold their life together. And that can happen to you, that happened to me. And you say, well, Pastor, if I had $1 million, you'd be surprised. You know what I'd do with it. Yeah, you would be surprised what you'd do with it. And right here would probably be surprised what you do with it, you know. And it's always, you know, I always remember this illustration. As Curtis Hudson was preaching, he always said, what we would do with what we don't have, you know. And he said, and he was talking his illustration. He said, if I had 100, he talked to his friend. He said, if I had 100 hogs, he said, would you give me half of them? He said, oh man, he said, of course I would. He said, if I had 50 hogs, would you give me 10 of them? He said, oh man, you know I would. And he said, if I had 2 hogs, will you give me 1 of them? He said, now that ain't fair. You know I got 2 hogs. Once he got to where he lived, you know, what you would do with what you don't have, you know, it's like, you know, if you had abundance, you say, well, I would do so much more for God if I just had an abundance. Maybe money, maybe time, maybe whatever it is, maybe health, whatever it is, but are you faithful to God with that which you do have? That's where the strength of your life is going to lie. Are you faithful with the amount of time that you do have? Don't look for more time. Use the time you have right now faithfully and be amazed what God will do. And he said, he's cautioning them here. Because if you're not careful, you will base the strength of your life on the abundance of possessions that you have. And he spake a parable, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Since I got these extra possessions, I'm going to store this. This is my strength. I'm going to keep this together. And guess what? Because I have all these things stored up, now my soul can rest. Because I have an abundance of possessions. And he goes on to say, but God said to him, thou fool. See, you can't trust in possessions. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Me and Pastor Quigg, and we were talking, we had breakfast on whatever day. No, we had lunch, but I think it was Monday last week. Not that the day matters. But we were talking about homeschooling. And we weren't really talking about homeschooling. We were talking about Christian education. And see, a lot of people don't really understand, because me and him have the same mindset regarding that. See, Christian education is not so that my children have the best opportunity to advance themselves in this world. Christian education is so that, verse 21, they'll be rich toward God. And if they're rich toward God, they will have everything they need that will last them for an eternity. But see, most people don't get that, because most people, when they're looking, they want a certain, I've talked to so many people, parents that want to be involved in homeschooling, they're looking for the curriculum, and they're looking for something to make sure their child is in a situation so they can get an opportunity so their life can basically possess an abundance. Because we don't want poor Johnny to have to struggle, you know. especially if we don't want to be poor like we were, you know. Well, I want them to be rich in faith. I want them to have everything that God wants them to have. And I want my children to believe that God is their portion. And I want everybody here to believe that God is your portion. And I want you to know that no matter what happens globally, economically, that you are secure in God. And that He's the difference. But if you're not, you'll be... You know, I'm from a country that's been in trillions of dollars of debt for I don't know how many years. But you know, all the years I was there, I didn't starve one day. You know why? Because my life did not consist in the abundance of things that I possessed. I mean, what I make in ministry now, most single people make. And God allows me to take care of a family with six people. Because my life consisted not in the abundance of things that I possess. And I thank God for that. I mean, it's exciting to live and to let God do those things. And I'm content because, man, the rich things that come through my life, because I'm not resting the trust in the riches or an abundance of anything. When I finally see the Lord, I don't want to be healthier. I wouldn't mind, but I want to use the health that I have for you. And God gives me more health to do more for Him. When I'm faithful to what I already have, because He says, a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's why I have one wife. Because I don't want more than one. You know, some people want more than one. You know. Notice what it says here next of all. We see the Father's command. Now he begins with the caution. And now he says, based on the previous information I've given you, based on the teaching that I've seen, look, don't beware of covetousness. You know, you'll start thinking that the bunch of things you possess make the difference. He said, no. He said, now I'm going to command you. He said, now take no thought for your life. And I've spent a lot of time there. I've said so much about losing life to Christ over the past year, amen. If anybody's been awake, you should have got the message, amen. That my life is here in Christ. My life is dead in Christ. I do not exist for Christ. He says, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. And see, these are abundance issues. Because see, when there's abundance, you take thought about what you're eating. We can be pickier when there's abundance. Do you know what? If you go with places in Mexico and places in Africa, they're not even concerned about an organic diet. Did you know that? they're not worried about whether they're eating low fat food. They're not concerned about a well balanced diet. They're wondering, is there anything coming across the table today? I mean, with me and the boys, we were at that camp meeting. There was a guy there trying to raise money for orphanages that were run by Baptist churches. And he was talking about how they feed them. But corn and what else is it? What was in the platter? Rice? Corn and rice and beans and one big pot. And they stirred all together. I don't even know if they put any seasoning in it. But basically, I mean, just feed the kids by the bowl. You've seen the stories on TV, you know. And nobody picks up with it. Is this organic corn? Can you imagine a little kid, he's starting, is this organic corn, you know? Is this brown rice for white rice? You know, because, you know, brown rice has more fiber. It's a lot healthier for you than the white rice is, you know? See, our abundance allows us to take so much thought for our life. You know, and I tell you, you know, some of the most stressed out people I've ever met, and I'm not against eating healthy and being concerned. And most important thing, if you just don't overindulge, you'll be healthier. But there's people so stressed out about what they eat, you know. Instead of just letting God provide and then be a lot more content. But you take no thought for your life. What you should eat, you need to provide what you should put on. The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Well, we know what we should put on. Fashion is a $1 billion industry, you know. People are making money because people are concerned about what they put on, you know. Like this suit I have on here. You know. I would like to impress you right now and tell you what brand of suit this is. But I don't know what it is. It might be something good. But I got it at the thrift store. I didn't care. And I've had suits that were bought brand new before. I'm not against those things. But I'm not really concerned about what I put on. He said, the life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens. Now let's think about the ravens for a second. Okay, God provides for them, right? You know what the ravens do? I mean, can you imagine? The ravens wear the same clothing every single day. Every single day. There's not a day that they change, you know. They wash it. I mean, it's clean every day. I don't know how ravens clean themselves, but I mean, the ravens have the same thing every single day. And they're okay with that, you know. Because that's what God provided. They're not taking thought. They don't give hey, Lord, could I have some different color feathers today? Would that be okay? You know, I've been in this, is black still in? You know, I've been wearing black for all these years. No, that's what their father provided, that's what their creator provided them with. They're not taking any thought for that. Nothing bothered them. Let's think about their diet. What do ravens eat? Ravens eat leftovers. When some people are so blessed that they wouldn't touch a leftover. What, leftovers? Wow. Now we read, but think about it, the application of it. Ravens eat leftovers. He says they don't sow and reap. Ravens will eat worse for them. They're not stressed out over their socioeconomic status. They don't even work for a living, but they have everything they need. Now, we know if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. We're not completely like the ravens, but now, think about this. Now, a raven cannot work at all. We can work, and the ravens have absolutely everything they need, and we can work also. So that's why we have the abundance, because we can work also. But we trust in that abundance. We don't realize how good it really is. But the Father, he says, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? But the ravens are concerned. Man, why can't those that know him just be concerned with the kingdom? And which is, you know, one of my favorites, I love when I worked for Centos and I worked for Wonder Bread. I love those jobs. You know why? Because I had a uniform. Because I wore the same thing every day. I never had to think about it. I love uniform jobs. I told my wife several times, I said, I'm going to go to Centos, I'm going to buy a shirt, and I'm going to put the shirt name on it, and I'm going to buy some pants there, and I'm going to wear the same thing every single day. It makes my wife cringe just to think about it. Because she used to be a fashion coordinator. She worked in the mall. It is retail work. But I said, that'd be okay. Same thing every day. Am I going to wear black and black, you know? I forget one of my kids. I can't remember what it was. We were going somewhere at church, and I think it was you. Was it you? You made 4 or 5. She goes, Papa, is that those same black pants you wear every Sunday? And she didn't mean a negative, just a little young child making conversation, you know? And they were. So that's always my joke now, you know? We have the same black pants on and wear every day, every Sunday, you know? But, hey, ravens. This is raven authentic, you know? Hey, I should start a designer line of clothing called Ravenswear. Can you imagine that? Ravenswear. We'll have black shirts, we have black tops, we have black pants, black socks, hey, black shoes, whatever. Ravenswear, you know, and we'll all wear the same everywhere we go, and we'll just say, where did you get that from? Well, Ravenswear. We're like the ravens, God provides, we're not breaking shit. They have the same thing every day. And what you, verse 25, now he's giving them the reason why he gave them this command. He said, you got to stop thinking about your life. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought what you shall eat. Take no thought for your body, what you're going to put on. Verse 25, he wants them to know, don't think about it because you're powerless to change it. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Now, if I think, you know, I'd like to grow one cubit. I'm just going to think about that and bring that into existence. Can't do it. Now, you think that's ridiculous to think that. Now, we think, well, of course, that's a hard thing to do. Nobody can think and add to the stature one cubit. But let's listen to the language of the Bible and understand how much God wants you and I to know how much we can really affect the other. Notice what he says. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? The rest is your life, the body, what you're going to put on. The least is that you add one cubit to your stature. Anybody think they can add one cubit to their stature? But if we were honest, how many people think you can really take care of your own life? Now, if we believe the Bible here, where is our stuff coming from? It's all coming from God anyway. But think of the amount of stress and toil that people have trying to set and work their own existence if they could just live a life for the kingdom. For the kingdom. Notice what he says here. verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Man, there's nothing like a lily, man. They're beautiful flowers. I love flowers. I love flowers, so I love dying my life flowers. If God so clothed the grass, which is day in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? I mean, God clothes the grass that people just walk on and cut and think nothing of. And you're his creation. He said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves you enough. He shed the blood of his only begotten son for you. And God can't take care of you. How much more will he clothe you? Oh, you little faith. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. No, here's the test here, though. Neither be you of doubtful mind. Doubtful what? That your Father knoweth that ye have need. Because that's when you make the decisions that take you away from God. When you don't think your Father knows that you have need. Now this is assuming you've went ahead in the direction of God. Now people that just don't want God, this wouldn't really apply. But people that are heading that direction, that really want God's will, that just basically become fearful and say, you know, I gotta help God out, you know. He says, neither be of doubtful mind. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Y'all, James 1:8, let's look at it for a second. I quote this verse often to myself to remind me. Anytime something in my life isn't going the way it should, I look at this verse and I look, how is my focus and my commitment to Christ? James chapter 1, toward the very end of your Bible, like right at the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1. In verse 8, notice what the Bible says here. A double-minded man is unstable in most of his ways. That's not what it says, is it? But see, we live like this verse doesn't really apply to us. Because how many well-meaning people with good intentions will not be singularly, completely devoted to Christ and really believe that they can have stability in other areas of their life? The answer is a lot of people. A lot of people will have a half-hearted commitment to Christ and they really believe and expect that the rest of their life can be stable and actually work out properly. And in every single one of them, find out that they were wrong. We have revival meetings sometimes, and you know what happens sometimes? God brings to light, and we realize, you know, my life is out of balance. And these things that were going well, all these things we thought we were going well, all of a sudden they're not going that well anymore. And we find out through the preaching, and sometimes even take a revival meeting, just being in your Bible, you recommend my commitment to Christ is questionable. It's no wonder that this area of my life is unstable. This area of my life is unstable. All these different things, you know. And you know what things back in Luke the point about this whole story here, if you think about when he gave the parable, basically what nobody's telling this the person that built the barns, this person had all this abundance of possessions and he never got to enjoy it. I mean, think about us in this room right now. I mean, compared to like Mrs. Payne's family, she went to go visit in the Philippines, and how she came back rejoicing that she had running water and could take a shower. You know, we're all pretty wealthy. If you think about that, we've got everybody in this room right now have possessions that compared to some people in other countries, they would think, man, you've got it so wonderfully good. And in our abundance, but now here's a question. How many people here in your current state really are enjoying those possessions that you have? If you died right now with your current income, your current possession, your current savings, would you be rejoicing? Or would you feel like this man, I didn't really even enjoy life? Because here's this man, he went built on the barn, and God tells him, thou fool, you're going to die. And these things, all this abundance you have, you're not going to get to do anything with it. And we've got all this abundance. And so much time we don't really even realize we do. We don't even enjoy it. It may not be much to leave behind, but the principle is still there. That's what he says next. So the Father gives a command, and he kind of breaks it down for him. So look, you can't cause your height to grow, which is least in my eyes. So you can't take care of your life, your body, your food, your raiment. And now, the Father, he just goes on a little further. In verse 27, he's trying to make it clear for us. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They spin not. I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If so then, if God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye little faith, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Okay, so now when you're seeking this, you're like the nation of the world. Well, what's in the world? All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh. So if we're Bible believers, when we begin to take off for our life, and take thought for what we're going to put on, take thought for what we're going to eat, then we're just like the world. Does that mean just lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Don't be a doubtful mind. Ravens aren't doubtful. Just go out. That would be a chicken, I don't know. They just go around, just popping their head around, looking, you know. The lilies. I mean, you think if you test the lilies' inner being, you think they have a chemical imbalance or be stressed or anything? Have anxiety attacks? No, of course not. Because they are totally in the care of the Father. And the Father would like you to be totally in His care. He said, don't be like the nation of the world to seek after these things. Don't let your heart be set on the status of your life. Don't let your heart be set on the status of your type of your clothing or the abundance of clothing. Don't let your heart be set on the type of food or the amount of food. That's what the nation of the world seek after. I mean, think about it. You know, I always get Miss Nandini put me under such conviction one day. I don't know if y'all remember Miss Nandini, which she's from India. She moved here in 1967. And she told me one day, we were talking about something, and she said, this was probably maybe 3 years ago. She said she'd never eaten a meal out in her since she moved to this country, since 1967. And I thought, you got to be kidding. That's what I'm doing. But she was content with what she had. You know, and a lot of times we would, you know, really, we'd probably have more fasting if we just played. We would have been with people. But see, we can't really do, we can always grab something, you know, anywhere out, you know. I mean, just think about it. I mean, just the money, if you could have back just right now, the money that you spend now. And I'm saying, even if you're a frugal person, just think of somebody you could have helped with that money. There's times you thought, man, I would like to give this, but well, I don't have anything to give. We said, but I was hungry then. He said, now, well, then if you were in the will of God and in the way of God, then that's your fast. What do you get on the knees? But this was just so good. I just didn't realize this was my favorite restaurant. You know? I'm preaching to myself too, by the way. But I'm just saying, some principles here. You know what I thought? But we take thought for what we eat. You're sitting home tonight, man, I sure like something good to eat. Anything like this, you know. Now, last thing of all here, the Father's call. He sends a call. He says, don't be like the nation of the world. Seek after these things. Verse 31 says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. You know, I like this passage here. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But see, right here it just says, but seek ye the kingdom of God. That means all you're supposed to be looking for is the kingdom. You know, and imagine, I wonder how much more God could really do for us if that's all we sought. Because the Father knows what things we have need of. Is that, that's what the Bible says, right? And if we seek the kingdom, all these things shall be added. Added. That isn't, if I understand the Bible language, that means it's not something I'm doing, it's something that God is doing. Fear not, little flock. There again, don't we have a great Father? He understands us. What I just write there, God knew already. Before we even got that verse, some of you are already afraid. Man, just seek God only and then not think about my life. How does that work, man? I don't understand. And God says, fear not. Don't take off of my life. I mean, I think the Lord had me say something right here. I say things about thrift store clothing. I don't expect you to be like me. So don't feel like you've got to go change your shopping, go to the thrift store clothing. What I am saying is obey the Lord and be content with whatever you have. Because going to the thrift store and buying clothes does not make you spiritual. That's not what I'm indicating or was even suggesting. But what I am suggesting is sometimes we may be more consumed with the abundance in the label more than we are. You know what? Is this godly and pleasing in the sight of the Lord? That's what the consideration should be. You know, is it honoring unto Him? You know, does it reflect me or does it reflect Christ? You know, because sometimes we're looking for clothing that reflect our character and our person instead of reflecting the image of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've done that before myself. Now, He says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. He says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I'll give you the kingdom if you look for it. He says, sell that you have. You know what he's saying? There's some abundance that you could probably get rid of for the sake of the kingdom. Now, I was sitting there this morning, I was thinking about different things. And I was sitting there, I'm in country style, studying my Bible. I got my phone here, I got a laptop here, and they have Wi-Fi, and I'm thinking, I don't know how many months ago, now they got all these switchy plans, you can have data, all these unlimited things, you know, and I'm thinking, I said, what do I need? Data on my phone. I mean, it's convenient. And the Lord just convicted me. As I called my company, I canceled my data off my phone. You know, it's nice and convenient. Because, I mean, I don't get that many emails anyway. Mostly it's a distraction to me more than it is a necessity. I mean, I have used it in different times for the glory of God. But I thought for a second, no. And I was thinking, you know, and I said, Lord, you know what? Ask God to forgive me. Because, and there again, it's not wrong if you have data. But me personally not needing data. I allowed the world to move and to dictate the direction of my life. Because anymore, everybody's getting data. Almost every preacher's on email. And I don't think preachers that use data or email are ungodly or wrong. They may be better stewards and probably use it for more than I ever could. And so, to God be the glory if they're on there. But for me, I just have to think, well, it's inexpensive and it's easy, you know, might as well, why not, you know? And without really thinking about the Spirit, and there's different things that I've allowed in my life just because it's not ungodly, but it's just what everybody else is doing. So I might as well go with the flow. And then before you know it, you got all these additional things that you don't really need, and you feel like it needs. And but the problem is, just sell a few things. It's only going to save me, because my plans would cheap anyway, about $5 a month. But it was just, the Lord just said, do it. So I did it. And how many other things, you know, do we just allow? You know, because people criticize me and my boys at 16, 17 don't have cell phones, you know. I mean, they're horrible, you know. I think one's going to cut my throat in the night because they don't have a cell phone. But you know what? I'm totally kidding about that. Teenagers do stuff like that today, though. I mean, they do. It's sad, but they do. But you know what? I thought, you know what? When I was their age, I was just taught to be responsible. If you left the house, you said, I'm going to be here till this time. And when, if not, I'll be back at this time. And then if something changed, you found the phone and called, or people knew something was wrong. Because you were just taught that your word meant something, you know. And they didn't give up. And they're doing pretty good so far. But you know, it's not, I mean, can we just tell the truth about preaching? Is it okay? I'm going to use your illustration. Don't you feel out of place sometimes because you don't have a cell phone like all your friends? A lot of your friends. Don't they make you feel strange sometimes because you don't have a phone? Sometimes they do. I mean, not all the time, but it happens, you know. But why? I mean, here's something that is not really needed, but there again. And you could just go with the flow. But God, and then basically just have another expense that's unnecessary. I mean, right now, I could get, I mean, you could, with Mobilicity, man, you can have unlimited talk and text for $12.50 a month. But why not get them both for, you know? But you know what? I mean, that's, you got to buy the phone, which is, cheapest phone, they got $50, so there's $70 probably get right there, you know what? And I don't want to get choked, but I almost did it, boys. I thought about it, but you know what? I thought, you know what I should do? I should give $70 to the widow at the end of this month. Instead of getting yourself on your own with me. It was going to be mine, but I thought just my family was in the house. I thought about that. But it's just, why? It is something you can do. So I didn't get it yet, but I sold it with a half. I said, $70 aside that I can give Sister Walker. That's just trying to make it, you know. I mean, she don't even have money for the medicine that she needs for a seizure sometimes. And to sell. Why? To be Christ-like. To be a blessing. And it says here, sell that you have and give alms. And provide yourself bags which watch not all. And treasures that don't fade away. Every cell phone you have goes out of style. Every other thing you have, that every clothing you have goes out of style. Unless you're in the 80s, like my generation, you come back. And I just, you know, if I had saved all my clothing, and if I could lose about 20 more pounds, I could just pull my old clothes back out of the closet. And work again. I mean, man, but I hate that, you know. I mean, I threw all that good stuff away. I mean, really, I could really be in fashion. I mean, if I could just pull all those old things out again, you know, those patched jeans, all good stuff. I mean, my son just got one recently. The plaid ties coming back in, all kind of stuff, man. Well, I could have sold it to you. But provide yourself bags with wax on oil and treasure that is in the heaven and the field not. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not advocating that you have to get rid of everything, don't do anything, but a lot of people in this room and in this life experience stress and financial pressure because basically when we had an abundance, we spent the abundance on something that made us up the status quo. And now, we're limited in even doing things that are Christian because we didn't manage the abundance properly. It's like my house, even at 1,250 a month, that could be, I don't know how many cell phones that is, rolling around. That could add up. It's just excessive. And I'm not against cell phone, but I'm just using a practical illustration, so don't think I'm a pastor or preacher against cell phones. But I'm saying it could be anything, that we do. Home internet and these type of things, we think we got to, even internet period, we got to have that. You got to stay connected, don't you? I remember telling Brother Bianchi, we were talking about this one time. I said, I think I'd just get rid of my internet and my computer for about a year or two. He said, you couldn't do that. And I said, yeah. I said, I think you're right, I said, Spurgeon could have been a lot more successful if he had a computer. Isn't it amazing? If you study anything at all, most things you're studying about people that didn't have the resources we have to do stuff with, ministry-wise, some of the greatest doctrinal books you'll ever read are from people that didn't have a computer, didn't have a laptop, didn't have internet, and their Bible saturated with things. There's so much stuff today is cut and paste. That's all it is. Even the current stuff, they had time for God. They didn't have them to be able to distract. They didn't allow themselves to be pushed along. They go and become, and they spent their time with the Lord. You see, what we do, if we have abundance of time, we think we've got to fill it with something. And so then, I'll just wait a while. I'll rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Hey, I've got some money. I've got to spend it on something. I'll just rest in the Lord. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll probably have a need coming along someday. I know when I was on deputation travel, if I ever got a big love offering, I knew I was probably going to give it away to somebody, or I had a big need coming. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going shopping. So I can remember meeting missionaries, didn't have things, didn't have gas money. And there it was. I never get it. I was at Rogers Baptist Church. And I won't go into the whole detail, but this is a church we started with nothing, $13 in the bank. And then finally, I'm in there, and I get a decent level offering. There's a missionary in Mexico, and then this guy broke his dirt. And God said, give him $100. I'm thinking, man, we just had nothing. We just had nothing. You want me to give him $100? And he said, yes, of course I do. And I did it, And God provided. It was amazing. And I thank the Lord for that. Because, for that moment in my life, I wasn't looking, the abundance wasn't the strength. And so, what happens is, many people weather some storms, but they're not, the abundance doesn't mean anything to them. They're okay. They don't think it does. They kind of scrape, make long, paycheck to paycheck, you might say, little by little, then a bunch of money comes, and I got to hold on to this. And then they start quenching God out. And says, so hey, it's like Joel said, I was naked before I came to this world anyway, so I'm not going to get attached to it. But let's finish this up. Let's do something like that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure the abundance? See, if your treasure is the kingdom, that's what you'll spend your time on. I think about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years, Mark asked me, when was I full time in the ministry? I said, the moment God called me. Because the moment God called me, my life was consumed with ministry. I was always trying to use every spare moment to reach people for Christ and looking for it, always thinking about that. It was my treasure to minister to people. Then he said, let your loins be girded about. So gird up your loins. Let your loins be girded. And he said, and your lower light's burning. Let the light shine. And ye yourself wait like men, like unto men that wait for the Lord. That means you prepared. You're looking for His coming. God's not impressed with the abundance of possessions. God's impressed with faith. Remember, what's that passage? When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's what Jesus is looking for when He comes. God, this church we have here right now, God's not wondering when He comes back if we're going to have a building or not when He gets here. You know that? God's wondering when He comes back. He starts here.
from my account. Then he walks through here. He says, "Is there any faith here?" He's coming back to see if there's any faith. He's not seeing if there's resources. He's not trying to see if there's money in the bank, if there's educational opportunity, educational degrees, life accomplishments. He's looking through every seat, every soul here, and says, "Is there any faith here?" He says, that's what he's looking for. "But that's what I require." He said, "I require faith." Verse 13, "Blessed are those servants," verse 37, "whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." That means, "I can't wait till he gets here." Why? Because you were seeking the kingdom, because you were faithful, because you're working, you're going, you're teaching, you're helping to get people in the situation to be baptized for the call of Christ. You're doing all those things, and you're looking forward to Christ returning because you know you've been watching, you're prepared. Because you're doing those things, you're ready because you know what pleases Him. And so you've given your life to please Him, so you can't wait till He gets back. Well, I send you that He should gird Himself and make Him sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And notice that if the governor of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. My bicycle was stolen not too long ago, and if I'd have known when they were coming, I'd have got up, I'd have sat out front and waited for them. But I know it, so that's why my bike was gone again. But I don't know when Jesus is coming either. If I really love that bicycle, or I had it chained up, I'd just stay there the whole time waiting for the thief to show up. But if I really love the Lord, I'll be watching in faithfulness, following God. Lord, could it be today? Lord, if it is today, that person I've been kind of hedging on witnessing to, Lord, please open that door today. Lord, that person that's been rebelling against you, Lord, I'm going to get on my face before you. I'm going to cry out to you for mercy. I'm asking God for some mercy for the people today. Lord, I said, "Oh God." It's not about me trying to figure out what the priest was. Lord, these people are headed to hell. Some are just headed to ruin their life. Oh God, have mercy. It's not about a message about what I'm going to preach. It's about them finishing this life in a way that's pleasing unto you. It's about their relationship with you being reconciled and them being together with you. Come. Be ready. He's calling you to be ready. Verse 40. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not." Some of you think, "Man, once I just get this right abundance, then I'm really going to do everything for God that I'm supposed to do. Once I really get free to have my..." If you're a young Christian, you think, "Man, once my time is all mine, then I'm really going to do it for God." Or you're thinking, "No, I'm really going to do it all for me." And God says, "How are you using the time that you have right now? Man, once I just paid this bill off, then I'd like to help and give and stuff like that." Because, you know, I'll give in the Spirit light anyway. And if you don't give by the Spirit with what you do have now, you're not going to give by the Spirit if you get an abundance later. It doesn't matter how much you have when it comes to giving. It's are you being led by the Spirit? Same with your time. If you're not using the time you have right now properly, you're not gonna use it when you get an abundance of time. You're just gonna use it more for the person you've been serving already, which is yourself, if it's not for God. But you know what? The Father really doesn't know what you have need of. And the Father wants to bless you so much. He cautions you about the things that will destroy you and me. He says, beware of covetousness. Don't let you like this. Don't even think you like consistent things of the abundance you possess. Even if, man, if I had so-and-so's talents, then I'd really use them for God. No, use the talents you do have. And honestly, just forget about the talents you have. Use your life for God. And something to show up you didn't know you could do. You're like, well, I didn't know I could do that. God said, you could. I helped you. Even the people that think they have talent, it's not them, it's God anyway. It's God made them. But you know what? God would love just to be a church filled with people that are rich toward God. They don't have a doubtful mind. The Bible says in verse 29, and He loves us not to be like the nations of the world. But you know, so many things are confused when it comes to Christianity and Christian living today. Because, you know, we love this world more than we love God. People will sacrifice and sweat and toil and do almost anything to have a better life here. But where is the sacrifice, sweat, and toil so that your neighbor, your co-worker can have a better life to come? Somebody think about it. If you've ever worked a job, think about the things you put yourself through for money. Even if you're going to give it to somebody. I mean, unless it's for the gospel's sake. I mean, it's basically for a better here. But where is that sacrifice, that labor for just for the kingdom? God would like to be rich toward God. I guess the question today, are you willing to be rich for God? Do you want to be rich for God? I tell you, if you make that step and you live that life, I'm going to tell you, you'll be looking forward to Him coming. You won't be thinking as much about tomorrow as you do now. Because you'll have so much in today. What's about tomorrow? I'll say, about, you know why time passes so fast for me right now? Because I have such a great life. I got a wonderful wife, a wonderful children. God's going to bless me to serve Him. And time passes so fast because I'm not looking for tomorrow. I just enjoy the day. And if I'm able to give myself over to the things I'm preaching completely, then it's going to even go faster. And next thing I know, Jesus is going to be here. And God, I could be the same for all of us. Man, it's just a joy to serve the Lord. A joy just to be for Him. And we're like, man, is He coming? I forget, I was preaching in Kansas City one day, and we were people having breakfast, and we were talking about the coming of the Lord, and he leaned over, he said, well, the clouds are out there. It might be now. So, and if you're watching, you're ready. That's good news. If you haven't been faithful, I'm not really sure I want to talk about that too much. I got